welcome to another episode of the Hell Attire Podcast. I am your host, Peruji, Bubba McComb, a.k.a. Lad Boy Lenobi, a.k.a. Lily Lonka's Lundering Lilo, a.k.a. Walmart's Leverett Lopper. If you can't tell what I've been doing already, I've been replacing the beginnings of each word with L. This is episode number 32 with your special guest, me, your boy. This is a special episode. Haven't done a solo episode for my with myself ever. I did a bonus episode about memories and stuff, and I had some people write on Facebook about what their favorite memory with me was, and I went over some. That was kind of fun. But today, I just wanted to take the time to update everybody on myself, give some shout-outs, give some thank yous, kind of dive into what I've been doing lately. And so, well, first of all, I got some show announcements. Guys that have been coming out to my shows, I really can't thank you enough, man. Like, it's so frustrating sometimes because I don't really have a way to show you how grateful I am other than saying thank you and just really hoping you take it for what it means. You know, like, I don't know what else to do other than say thank you. You know, of course, if you've got, like, merch and shit, I of course buy a shirt. But, like, I don't know, man. It just means so much to me, and I hope you guys really understand how much it means to me. And without the people who have been supporting me, these updates wouldn't even be possible, to be completely honest. So if you've supported me, you know who you are. Thank you so fucking much. If you haven't supported me yet, it's fine. You know, it's not a fucking mandatory thing to do in life. Just understand that supporting someone can mean something very basic. Liking a post does a lot, to be completely honest. I know people who use Facebook and Instagram on a regular, you know, social-only basis don't really understand or just don't know how important the algorithm is in Facebook and Instagram and how much higher you're placed up in the random feed spots on other people's shit if, you know, you get the most likes or comments or, you know, whatever the fuck. I know it sounds really, what's the word, superficial, but, like, likes and comments and shares mean the world. So if you haven't gotten a chance to come out to a show, you know, don't want to drive or it's a little too far or you're far away, just share a post, not even mine, just whoever you support, whoever you listen to, whoever you take advantage of their creative lane for your own, you know, I don't know, man. My mind's a little weird right now. I'm in a very jumbled place. I'm trying to be nice and smooth about it all, but I got some stuff to talk about, man. I really just wanted to do this and get some things out there and put some things in the universe and see what happens, man, to be honest. So again, with the shows, tomorrow, April 29th, is my first feature spot ever in stand-up comedy. I'll be doing a 15-minute set, and the headliner is Mr. Glennon McGee, and that is at the Sixth Sense Theater. Go ahead and check the website for details. May 10th, I'm performing with Chris Cope from Hulu and Fox and all that stuff. He's an actor, comedian, really funny guy at the Scottsdale Comedy Spot Comedy Club. May 13th, we got Food Not Bombs, the benefit show at Third Space. So if you're not busy on May 13th, make sure you come out, donate some food, buy a ticket, and understand that it's going to a really good cause. May 30th, a big date. Me and the fucking boys, a.k.a. me, Derek McFarland, Dustin Cade, Josh Harrison, and pending still, Mr. Mike Enders, gonna send it to L.A. Gonna play a show at the Hermosa Saloon. And the headliner, a.k.a. special guest, is, you know, he didn't want me to release a name because he doesn't, you know how it goes, man. It's a month away. Shit can change. But just understand that it's a very special guest. So if you live in the L.A., San Diego area, make sure you come out to that one. It's gonna be a fucking party. And then the most important day of my entertainment life so far, June 1st at the Nile Theater Coffee Shop, the Hell Attire Podcast live. It's going to be fucking great, dude. AJ Rodriguez is going to be the jam daddy. I don't even want to tell you his, like, his role in the podcast because it's so fucking tight that I don't even want to talk about it and ruin, like, what I have planned on how he's going to be interacting with the podcast all night. We have comedian Danielle Arce, out of LA. She's going to be doing the comic relief, comedian relief at the end of the podcast. She gets a full 10 to 15 minutes to make everybody laugh and feel good before we leave. And then we have the roast panel, which is so far me and my buddy Chris Gotti, He's from New Jersey. He's a fucking dick. He's really good at talking shit. You know what I'm talking about, man? I don't know if that was a New Jersey accent or not. I've never been there, so my bad. But yeah, Hella Tired Podcast Live is going to be fucking great, man. It's at the Nile Coffee Shop. Vegan food. And I'm talking about food. Not like just a fucking cookie that's vegan. I'm talking about like Cubano sandwiches, but vegan style. They got full coffee, they got beer there, so make sure you come out and have a good time, man. It'll be a good time, and it means a lot to me. All right, so oh, of course, come on, guys, Kova Coffee, let's go, man. You guys already know the fucking deal. Kova Coffee has been a supporter and sponsor of this podcast since the very, very early episodes. Constantly drinking their fucking coffee. Make sure you go to kovacoffee.com and enter the code KOVA5 for $5 off your order. And make sure you do that too. If you like coffee, if you say you like coffee, like, oh my God, I fucking love coffee. Or if you're one of those people who don't really like black coffee, but say it to make yourself seem cooler and like, I don't know, more mature, like, only drink black coffee, but I only really drink it from a couple of sources, so, like, I can't really buy it from Starbucks or, like, Dutch Bros. So, if you're that fucking person, dude, then you for sure need to buy it and stop fucking fronting, all right? Because this is actually the best black coffee ever, so, anyways. All right, guys, so what's been going on with me? This last month, I've been not working. Coming off of my antidepressants was proving to be really, really hard to do while working. So I got some time off of work to come off the antidepressants, and it has been a very unsettling and frustrating 3-4 weeks, I'd say. A lot of good things, a lot of cool things have happened in that time. I'm not taking anything away from that, but my emotions towards it all during that time, very hard to navigate. Positively, at least. It was really, I don't know, man. I'm really, really, really happy I got on them initially. They did exactly what they needed to do for me. I would recommend anybody at least, God damn, I can't talk. I'm so sorry, guys. At least not recognizing. Holy fuck, dude. I don't know, man. Trying it out or consider. Good Lord, at least consider it. I was the person my whole life, like, fuck therapy, fuck SSRIs, I don't need that shit, blah, 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 just like most people. If you're not that, you're either in therapy or on SSRIs. There's not really a whole lot of in between there, but no matter what your subject or your disposition on the subject, I mean, just make sure you at least just consider it, you know? And sometimes you take them and it's not the right one for you, and people get really turned off by the idea of it, but there is a fucking... There is something out there that will work. It might be a lot of trial and error, more than you'd want, but it will do what it needs to do for you. And I'm an advocate. You know, I'm not telling you to do it, but at least to consider it, read about it, learn about it, do whatever. So the SSRIs did its job. I got my life back in order. I had to cut some ties that I would really hurt, you know. Honestly, I made myself very, very uncomfortable for a little while, just for the sake of growth, you know. And I think that's something that people can say it works for them a lot too. It's a cliche for sure. Like, you have to feel uncomfortable to grow. And it's like, it really is true, you know? And so that leads up to my next fucking plethora of feelings. Over this last month, I've been not spending 40 hours a week at the job that has absolutely zero potential for networking or exposure or happiness. Is that the word I'm talking about? Yeah, happiness. It's become an environment that has become toxic for me. The way people move, the way people talk to each other, the way people handle situations, it's becoming very, very disconnected. I don't really feel like I know anybody there anymore. Just like a whole bunch of, you know, things that would usually make someone quit, which is totally fine. You know, I'm not saying that I'm going to quit because I don't like it there. That's just a part of it, right? But the other part of it is... And I'm not trying to like victimize myself here. Okay. Like, understand, I've had a really cool life as far as creativity goes. Everything I've decided to involve myself in creatively, I've had a lot of fun with, almost nothing but good memories, almost nothing but new friendships to come out of things, yada, yada. But none of them have ever really made me realize that, oh, this is what I want to do. Like, okay. This matters to me. Right. Like, people sometimes never find the thing that matters to them, the thing that they do that truly makes them feel happy. And I've never had that. I've had a whole bunch of things that make me feel happy because, like, for the moment, it's fun. For the moment, it's like, oh, this is fun. This is a nice little break from, you know, reality, like Kendama or something, you know. And even then, it's even a bad example because you get to travel and hang out with your friends with Kendama and shit and whatever. But comedy, stand-up comedy, and this podcast, along with my desire to connect with people, to create the possibility for exposure or for a true connection with whoever is asking, whoever you're talking to, or whoever's reading about you, is all I want to do, man. Like, at this point now, I have something that I love so much creatively that it is absolutely destroying me on the inside for the first time. You always hear artists, and I'm calling myself an artist because, you know, it is what it is. I'm not like a fucking painter or I don't gotta fucking explain myself. Shut the fuck up. You guys know what I'm talking about. But like, not as an artist, but like as a human, man. Like, I don't fucking belong in that environment. I don't thrive off of validity in the workforce or validity in, you know, reaching my goals for someone else, you know. I hope that makes sense to you guys, and I'm not trying to sound selfish or trying to sound better than, but some people enjoy thriving in that environment. Some people really do enjoy hitting their numbers and, you know, getting a raise based off performances and, you know, being literally rewarded for their work. And I hope that they love the work they're doing. That's all I can hope for anybody. If you're succeeding in whatever field you're in, whether it be creative fields, financial analyst, I don't give a fuck, dude. As long as you're doing it and whatever you're doing makes you feel good, I say you stay there for as long as you can, man. You don't get that feeling very often in life, especially when you're doing something that yields a paycheck. It's really hard to do something that's not your passion, that doesn't feel like it's holding you back from it. You know what I mean? And at this point in my life, you know, I'm not a fucking veteran comedian, and this podcast has only been going on for a little while, right? But that's not the point. The point is, I finally have found something that I care more than anything about. I care more about my progression in comedy and this podcast and Vibe Cop and interacting with people and is making new friends. I care more about that than anything. And 40 hours a week behind that desk, dude, is preventing me from doing what I truly want to do. And I'm not saying I'm going to quit a job and just become homeless and just do my thing. Like, that's not a fucking plan, you know? But I definitely need to get out of this. Like, I need to work at a coffee shop or like a beer tender or a bud tender or something. I don't know, man. I really don't know, but this ain't working for me anymore, guys. I know a lot of you guys can relate. You guys are probably in the same boat. I don't know, man. I'm getting emotional, dude. I don't know what it is, dude. I got my emotions back and shit, you know? Like, the antidepressants kind of like, I don't know, watered me down a little bit, but kept me from being depressed. If that makes sense? And like, now I just feel passion again. And it's just like a really good feeling, man. And I can't ignore it. Like, it's driving me crazy, dude. Like, just knowing I have to go back to work at somewhere that just fucking kills me, dude. Like, I can't do it, man. It's not even like anxiety. It's not even like, you know, oh, dude, I can't. It's not like that, you know. It's like, no, dude. You know, it's like letting someone like put your middle finger in a brace when you're a piano player. You know, like, you can play piano still, but you can't play piano the way you should be able to play because you've got that fucking brace on your finger. And I don't know, man. I need to take that brace off, dude. And I'm scared. You know, I'm being vulnerable with you guys, man. Like, I'm scared to do it, but I gotta, dude. And I know I got the support. I know I've got my friends behind me, like, got my back. Anything I need, I know they got my back, dude. But still, like, I don't want to be the guy to, you know, like, rely on anyone, but I need to get the fuck up out of this situation, dude. And it's so first world, you know. Some of these guys that are listening right now are probably pissed off that, you know, they're looking at my life from the outside in and like, dude, you're doing fine, man. There's no reason to feel this way. But it's just like, nah, dude, if you haven't felt this way, then maybe maybe you'll find the thing that makes you feel like this, you know? Took me almost 28 years, but here I am, bro. Fucking 27 years old, dude. And I'm like getting emotional just because I want to create this life. But like taking that first step is fucking terrifying, dude. You know, I've built so much and like, you know, have a lot of stuff, whatever. That's not really the point, but like stuff, just things. And I'm looking at most of these things and it's like, dude, none of these things have helped me, you know, like this microphone and this fucking interface in this entire room. I'm looking around. That's the only thing that's helped me, dude. But I thought that I needed all these things to propel me forward, but it's just me, dude. Like, and it's just you. Like, if you're in this position, man, like, stop looking for things to make you better, you know? You need to get things and involve yourself with people who allow you to be better, not make you better. Like, that's a irresponsible way to go about things, man. But, so, yeah, man, that's where I'm in life right now as far as feelings go and employment and how I think I need to move next. So, sorry for getting emotional, guys. It's just, you know, it feels good to have emotions again like this. I've always been an emotional guy, always, and I've worn them on my sleeve. I've never really had a problem with showing it, but I just hadn't felt strongly about quite a bit since I've been on the antidepressants. And again, they did what they needed to do. I was feeling really, really, really down, really far down. And the antidepressants just allowed me to just not go so far down, but it also put a ceiling in me. You know what I mean? Like I also can't feel that good or whatever. So yes, it did help. And I do recommend it. If you need help, and help is the word that you feel in your heart, then you should consider it. But now I'm just like, man, I'm feeling again. And such an emotional person, man. It's really hard to ignore it. And it's even harder not to act on it. You know, that's all I've been thinking about these past 3 weeks is like how bad I don't want to go back to that job. You know, it feel like I'm taking a step back, man, like for real. And so I'm gonna make a couple of decisions and talk with some people and try to rearrange some shit, man. Try to make my life strictly awesome, you know, and it is possible. You know, if you pay enough attention to the things you allow in your life and allow yourself to be involved in, it's absolutely possible, man. And I was almost there a couple times, and then a couple of bad things happened. You know, we all take steps back, yada, yada. But now there's no reason for stepping back, you know. I don't know. I just need to, I need to take a step forward. I need to go ahead and pull the trigger on this because it's everybody's story that's made it seems like. Not even made it in a sense like, oh, you've got a whole bunch of money and you're, you know, visually successful. Like, not even that, man. I'm talking about anyone who's doing what they love to do full-time, whether it is lucrative, whether it's a struggle, whether it's caused them to be homeless sometimes. I've never, and I'm being serious, man. Maybe I haven't asked enough people, but I have never met and talked to someone who said, yeah, man, you know, I really tried to follow my dreams, but I just fucking fell on my face so hard that it destroyed my whole life. And I don't think that's very common. I think there's things you can do while chasing that goal that can derail you. But just the act of trying to chase what you want to do in life, man, I don't think that can ever yield complete failure. And I need to take my own advice and just go ahead and do it, man. So thank you guys for letting me vent to you about where I'm at. Very strange, man. It's a very strange thing. I'm having a shift in perception lately, and I don't know if it's because it's naturally happening. It's my mark to go ahead and let it change. I don't know if it's strictly provoked by coming off the antidepressants. I don't know what it is, but it's here, and I can't ignore it. So, you know, we'll fucking see, dude. We'll see where that goes. So, again, thank you guys so much for letting me vent there. Super, super, super happy to be completely off the medication. And even though it's causing some turmoil in my mind because of the things I want are coming to surface. And the things I want aren't self-centered. They're not greedy. They're not harmful to anyone other than myself, man. Only person I'm hurting by not trying to make that jump is myself. And I need to go ahead and trust myself, man, and make that jump. So If you feel the way I do, message me. Let's talk about it. Let's try to put a fucking plan into motion to stop hating your life or stop being completely satisfied or like not being satisfied. You don't even got to hate it, man. If there's even things in your life that you dislike, like you have so much power, and this is like one of the last things in my life that I don't enjoy is my means of financial stability. And I don't want to live an almost cool life, you know? I want everything to be cool. I want everything I do to have meaning to me and the person I am helping directly. And I think there's a world out there that exists, and I'm going to go get it. I'm going to go get that shit, motherfucker. But yeah, so it's been a while since, you know, you guys have talked to my sister, Missy, a.k.a. Slumped Goddess. I believe she's episode 3. So go back and listen to that episode after this one. I'm so fucking proud of her, man. My sister, Missy McComb, a.k.a. Slump Goddess. She also, like me, man, she lived most of her life with not really being really passionate about something. And passionate, again, only meaning something you want to do and make that your means of survival or make that your means of existence. It could be anything. It really could be anything. And your passion, you should chase it. Once you feel it, I think you'll know. And even my sister, man, she's been putting on the most epic fucking hip-hop shows out here in Arizona ever. And almost all the time, it's almost all local artists, and she's selling out this venue out here called 51 West almost any time she puts a show on. And you know, I've got so much respect for her as a businesswoman and as a member of society and how the way she treats people. But like, that's my sister too, so I'm extra proud, you know what I mean? And I think that me and her got something special going on right now, completely separate from each other. But I think we're in the same area of life where we're just saying, whoa, dude, like, this is something I really enjoy. When this happens, I feel happy. And I can see it in her eyes, like when people come show up at a show and there's enough people there to pay all the artists, she just lights up, man. She's all proud of herself, and it feels good to have her feeling that way. You know, I know that she's not really done much in her life that makes her feel that, like, that way. She's done a lot, you know, like everybody has done a lot, but there's only a few times in life like you can say, oh yeah, when I did this, that was the moment when I knew that's what I wanted to do, you know? And the hard part about having that mindset with me, you know, it is my episode, so, you know, I'm going to talk about me, is, the climb, the longevity that's required in comedy to reach that level of even halfway providing for yourself, man, like, as far as, monetary goes, you know, like, I got $40 a couple times to do a show, and that was fucking so cool. I felt great. Like, that's a big milestone for me. But I know that, you know, I've got a long, long, long road ahead of me when I want that to be the main source of survival, you know? And so in the meantime, I want to do a whole bunch of other things, but I want them to be the things I want to do. And I can make the money I need to make, but I'm going to have to work harder. But here's the thing. You can work harder when you are excited about what it's going to yield. It's not just a fucking paycheck. It is, you get excited, right? You get paid. You get to do something you believe in. You get to interact with people or whatever your choice of you know, occupation is. And when it feels good, it doesn't feel like you're working because it's yielding more than just money at that point. You know, people have a desk job that are creative people that are have clothing companies and hip hop artists and yada 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 yada. I don't get how they stay there for that amount of time if they've ever felt like me right now. I'm not the only one to feel this way. I'm one of millions, I'm sure. But like, the thought of being someone like I'm gonna use a local example, okay? De La Prime, in my eyes, him and Eddie Wells are probably tied for the best lyricist / hip hop artist in Arizona right now. And Merk is in that conversation as well. And it's just absolutely mind blowing their talent, right? Imagine if De La Prime worked at Discover Card Monday through Friday for 40 hours a week and still put in the time to be doing what he's doing, right? He would still reach his goal. whatever that is, right? A job isn't going to hold you back from reaching your goal, but it's going to hold you back from feeling that good about it. I think it is going to hold you back from putting focus into your goal when you have something that drains your spirit, like a job like that. Or maybe he likes it. I don't fucking know. I'm just using an example, right? Like, just, I'm not comparing myself at all. But those three people I mentioned have a fucking passion, and I've known about their love for what they do for years. Sometimes Merck, I've known for over a decade, dude. And like, I know how passionate he is about what he does. And he's been doing and pursuing his passion far longer than I have. But everybody has to make the decision whether or not, like, what means more to them at this point, you know? And I'm at that point. I don't plan on making money off of comedy, but I've got a clothing company. I can host shows, or I can, you know, put on comedy shows or do live events, do kendama seminars for schools and stuff. Like, all these fucking options that I have that are right in front of me, I don't even have to try for. There's been a few superintendents for school districts that would like me to come do kendama and display kendama and sell them or whatever, and they'd pay me to come and do that. But I'm just like, I can't, dude. I don't have the fucking days to do it, really. Like, any day I have off is just filled up with other stuff I need to do, because 40 of those hours that I was supposed to be being creative was dedicated to doing fucking nothing. No creativity, dude, at all. Just straight soul-sucking shit, bro. And some of the people I work with are really cool. Don't get me wrong, some. But all the people I've been tight with, dude, they're fucking gone. You know, I've got an ex-girlfriend that works there that it doesn't make me want to quit at all. That's not the fucking driving force, but it just, I don't like that, man. You know, happy for her. She has a job that she doesn't hate, finally, and I'm glad, but I hate my job. So it's just time, man. It's really time. And I don't know how this is all going to turn out. I don't know, but it's time, dude. I want to be the guy to say, you have to fail to make it. You have to fail over and over and over again to get it right. I'm not doing anything to fail right now, man. I'm just staying in this little shell, 40 hours a week, doing an open mic a few times a week and a show here and there. Like, I'm grinding, but I know there's more in me, man. And I just can't, I can't go into full grind mode, dude, with the knowledge of, you know, of 160 hours a month going into non-creative avenues and no potential for networking or even connecting with people, you know? So yeah, man. So Missy, again, I kind of got a little sidetracked again, but that's what this episode's for. Just kind of trying to talk and use this as my therapy a little bit. Let you guys know what I'm thinking, what's happening in my mind. Super proud of Missy, dude. Chelsea, another person, she slowed way down in her commissions because she's being fucking lazy, but she's one of the most talented people I've ever known in my life, and she's on episode 2 as well. You know, she's one of those people that loves her job. She works at an office, right? And she loves that shit. She loves the people she works with. She loves the acknowledgement she gets from her boss when she does a good job. She's good at her job, you know? So there's a lot of things to love in a situation like that. And I'm happy for her, but even she can't deny that her job keeps her from being creative. Like, sometimes she's got a long list of commissions that she needs to do still, but she's tired a lot, or she doesn't feel good or whatever. And there's no denying that it's work stress, you know, like, life stress can be just as bad too, but you know, that's, no matter how much you love your job, man, like, if you're spending 40 hours a week on it, it's going to prevent you from passing your ceiling, at least in the time that you'd like it to. Unless you're just one of those people that are just like a robotic grind mode guy and you can just handle it all. I'm so fucking jealous of you, man. Like, I've never been able to, like, meticulously do anything at the same time and just feel happy about everything. You know, so I want to experience that, dude. Now I know the last 8 years of employment, I can't do office shit, man. I can't do it. I can't put myself in a fucking room like that and expect myself to be happy. I got to be happy before I pursue the passion, dude, you know, but that's not going to happen. So I got to fucking cut out the stuff that makes me unhappy and start pursuing it start doing a whole bunch of little things just to make sure I can pay my fucking car payment and rent and shit, you know? So I don't know. And I'm not being impatient either. This is just a feeling that's resided in me for quite a while, but this last month has really shown me how life can be. And all the times that I wasn't doing shit, all the times I was just watching TV or playing a video game, I could be working or I could have been doing something creative. But again, the fucking drive or the necessity to create isn't there when that doesn't provide. You know what I mean? It's fun. And I know that I want to keep doing comedy. I know I want to keep doing the podcast and the clothing company, but I don't need to. And you shouldn't need to pursue your passion. But if you put yourself in a position where now you need to do shit to survive, I think that's where I'm going to thrive, man. And I haven't been in that position in a very long time. I've just been comfortably broke, you know, taking no extra initiative, one paycheck coming in, you know, and the sponsor or the people who, you know, subscribe to this podcast, you guys have no fucking idea how goddamn much you have helped me at some points in time. I really don't think you understand how clutch that's come in handy. $40 a month, I think, is what it's at right now. Which again, dude, it's a very small amount for anything. But dude, I'm making a little bit of money off the podcast strictly based off my friend's support, man. And I can't tell, dude, I'm an emotional fuck, man. I'm not going to make it through this fucking podcast, dude. I really don't know why, you know, like anyone like does that for me. You know, I'm just talking. I try to help people when I can. I'm cool to everybody unless you have something to be not cool about, of course, you know. And I try to like make myself understand why or like why people support me or, you know, whatever. And no matter how many times my friends tell me, like, dude, I love you. I believe in what you're doing. Keep going. It feels good, man, but I'll never understand it, you know? I understand why I support people, but I can't view myself in that light. And so maybe someday, but $40 a month right now fucking made me cry, dude. Like, I don't know, man. I just feel like I shouldn't be making money off of just talking to people. And it's not money to survive. Well, actually, it is money to survive. It's not money to live. I've been $4 in my account, and then I get a payout from my podcast, and now I can eat and put some gas in my car and go to my mom's house in Goodyear. It's just like, I don't have to ask for money from my parents or shit. Like, it just, I don't know, man. It feels so good, dude, but I'm just, I don't know why. I don't know why, I don't know, dude. I'm just emotional. It's healthy, though. You know, I like thinking about these things, man. It humbles me, and it, you know, puts things back into perspective. And I've had a couple of days this month where it's just like, all right, man, like, I'm starting to realize what's important and what is absolutely not important, you know? And again, I'm looking around this room, I can see just a few things, and I'm like, why the fuck do I even have that, man? Like, why? If I would have just put that money into myself or, like, putting that money into forwarding myself, then I might be a little further along. And I don't beat myself up over it, but it's time to change, dude. You know, I haven't had a huge, huge shift in perspective and mental status in about 4.5 years, I'd say. And it's been great, man. I've had mostly good times, a couple of heartbreaks, you know, a whole bunch of tears, but mostly good times, man. And I think I want to have the good, only good times again. I don't want to feel this way. And I know what I need to do. And you know what you need to do. You know, I don't know if your situation is as serious as mine or not as serious or whatever. My situation is not serious, but it's serious to my mental state. It's serious to my fucking soul, dude. Like, that means the most to me right now. Like, your mind should be happy. Once your mind is happy, everything will follow suit. But if you've got a roadblock, like, you got to clear that bitch, man. And sometimes it's scarier than others. Sometimes you got to fucking face the reality of the possibility that this will not fucking work. And failing is something I'm really scared of, man. I'm not going to, you know, try to talk myself up like I'm some fucking demigod, but like, I've never failed to the point where it's like, yo, remember when you fucked up, dude? Like, remember when you quit that job and you tried to do that thing and lost all your money and like, blah, 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 right? Like, I've never done that. But what does that say about me, man? Like, I think that says more bad about me than anything. Like, I've allowed myself to be so, not dormant, because I'm not dormant. I still do creative things and stuff. You know, I balance it out and whatever, but it's not, I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I don't know. Hopefully you guys know. I don't know. I've just never like been able to say like, oh yeah, I failed hard at that. Like, I've bombed in comedy, but that's not a fucking life failure. I have quit my jobs. I've dated the wrong people. I've got engaged to the wrong people, but that's not what I'm talking about. Like, what I'm talking about is like, I can't say, man, I tried to do this, AKA just continue to chase my dreams full force and failed, and I had to backtrack. I don't know if that says I'm a pussy or if that means I'm just lucky or smart enough to not allow there to be a possibility to exist like that, but I feel like in my heart of hearts, there needs to be that possibility. There needs to be the like horrific thought of everything you planned on not working, you know, to be just a clutch player, man, to just get it done when it matters, dude. Like, I've usually been that person anyways, with my work, in sports, and whatever, like when it matters, like I feel the pressure and I feel how, you know, how many people could either be bummed out or happy by the outcome of this scenario. That's when I usually do thrive, you know, and I don't think even in those minute situations, I can't think of a memorable time where I tried and failed miserably or failed to the point where people were disappointed in me, you know? And I don't think fear of disappointment is the conduit for this feeling. You know, I just think that I just don't want to fail, man. Like, I've had a good streak of not failing, you know, in life, or like trying something bold and eating shit. I haven't even tried anything bold in my entire life, really. You know, I've just been moving meticulously and it's worked out till right now. You know, it's worked out. I've been fine until right now. And it's time. It's time, guys. So let's do it, man. If you're with me, if you're in the same boat, dude, by this time next month, my life is going to be a lot different, dude. That's factual. I'm going to make sure that it's factual. I'm going to have jobs I've never had. I'm going to be doing things I've never done. I need to. And so I thank you. If you're still listening, man, thank you for doing this with me, dude. It feels great just to talk about my feelings and not have anyone to respond. You know, sometimes this is even better than therapy. You know, I'm just saying what I feel, hoping people can relate. I'm not looking for guidance necessarily. It's always welcome. But I've learned to trust myself, and it's really hard to take advice from people if they haven't been through the exact scenario that I'm going through. And I know that sounds stupid, or it sounds, I don't know what the fucking word is, man. I don't know. I just, I don't know, dude. Whatever. It's all good. So, Hella Tired Podcast live, June 1st, guys. I've got a nice little list. I've only got about 20 tickets left. So if it sells out, it sells out, and you can't buy them at the door. You know, this will be a very exclusive, very focused and intimate experience. I don't want anyone in the building that I don't know who they are. I mean, if a stranger buys a ticket, that's fine. I don't care about that. I'm talking about, like, I don't want someone walking down fucking Main Street on Mesa
and seeing a whole bunch of people in this place and not knowing what the fuck's going on and stumble in all drunk and start interrupting me or start like, you know, just being a what are they called, man? God, dude, I can't fucking talk. A bystander. There you go. Jesus Christ, dude. Good Lord. But yeah, bystander. Come in and fucking throw off the vibes and shit. Like, I don't want that, man. And it's my fucking event. And I'm not fucking doing it. Like, I'm telling Michelle, like, hey, man, once 8 o'clock hits, you close these doors. Anyone that walks up to the door without a ticket, not getting in, dog. I don't give a fuck if you're there with your girlfriend and shit, dude. You're not getting in. So, you know, this is going to be very cool. It's absolutely worth the $10. I'm going to go ahead and say that right now. It will be a $10 night that you will be happy you spent. Again, vegan food, beer, yada, yada. Otherwise, Vibe Cop, my clothing company / lifestyle brand / blah, 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 on pause. I did the first run of beanies and they sold out extremely quickly. And I thank everyone for purchasing a Vibe Cop beanie. That was very cool of you. So I did a second run of them just as quick and got like double the amount made. And it got hot as fuck in Phoenix, dude. So now I've got like 40 fucking beanies just sitting there, dude, not going anywhere. So Vibe Cop can't move until they move, you know, or unless I start making extra money. So that's the update with Vibe Cop. I swear to God, dude, once the cogwheel starts turning, it's over. Mark, dude, fucking timestamp this right now. 41 minutes and 35 seconds, dude. Vibe Cop will be popping as soon as I get that fucking wheel turning, dude. Swear to God, it's going to be beautiful. That's the thing I have most faith in that I'm involved with. Comedy can fluctuate. My belief in myself can fluctuate. Opportunities can fluctuate. Everything, right? Cool. Podcast, again, it can fluctuate. People's interest, people's whatever. Someone might get tired of hearing my voice and just say, fuck it, I don't want to listen to that podcast anymore. I don't fucking know, dude. But Vibe Cop, everybody fucking wears clothing, right? And the things that I make or print is unisex as far as designs go, unisex as far as the fits go. It's not tailored to one specific person. It's tailored to more of an ideal. So if you don't know what Vibe Cop is, let me go ahead and fill you in. It's my company. And the name Vibe Cop essentially stems from being someone who absolutely does not allow negative vibes into their energy field or circle or whatever you want to call it, man. Like, if you're one of those fucking guys like, fucking hippie, don't believe in energies. Well, you don't believe in science, you fucking dumb fuck. Everything emulates energy and vibrations. So if you're one of those guys who's like, ooh, fucking energy, oh, fucking 311, dude, sick. Amber is the color of your energy. I'll fucking smack the shit out of you, uneducated little bitch. You know what I mean? Astrology, that's one thing. Saying that some moon is in retrograde and that's why you're a fucking bitch, that's one thing. You know, you can make fun of that all day. And you can challenge that belief for sure. But if you are saying that energy doesn't exist in vibrations and in auras, you're uneducated. And, you know, doesn't mean we can't be friends. You're just, you're going to be my dumb friend. You know, you're going to be the friend that is fucking stupid. So that's fine. I've got a few of those. You know, I've got a few just dumb fucking friends. It's like, all right, man, you're a good friend, but you don't know shit, dude, so I can't talk to you on an intellectual level, and I'm not the smartest guy ever, but guess what I do know for a fact is that we all emulate energy, and every single molecule that exists on this planet that is active emulates a vibration. So if you were one of those people before, don't be one now, because you're going to be met with a lot of animosity towards your lack of intelligence with that one, because that's one of those things where it's like, well, the sun's actually made of ice. It's so cold that it puts fire out. You ain't never seen Game of Thrones season 7 episode 10. That's how I feel when people say shit like that, you know, like that's what they sound like to me, you know. And you ever notice that like southern people just don't fucking sound smart either, ever? If you got a southern drawl, you could be explaining like microbiology and its connection or correlation with fucking what, dude, I don't even know. You could say whatever the fuck you want, but if you've got that twang, dude, I ain't believing shit you say, my guy. Like, for real. If some guy with a fucking southern accent came up to me and was like, hey, brother, you know, everything vibrates and everything's made of energy and it emulates an energy field that you can act is actually palpable, I'd be like, you're fucking stupid, dude. Get the hell out of my face. And I just said the same thing he did, but he said it like that, you know? So, sorry. You're probably a good person. You know, you can talk like that and be a great person. I know my homie Thomas Dotson, he talks almost like that. Not almost like that. That was mean. And he's not stupid, so I shouldn't even bring him up. He's fucking super intelligent. He just has a southern accent. He couldn't fucking teach me anything. He couldn't. And not because he doesn't know, but because I won't listen. You know what I mean? I can't. But anyways, man. I wish I wasn't like that, but, you know. When it's time to change, I'll change. But it's not now. If you've got southern draw, I don't take you seriously. And see, even I'm dumb. I'm probably dumber than most of the people that live in the South, but you're going to sound way fucking way more stupid than me, dude. At a spelling bee, we could spell the same fucking word and they'd buzz your ass, dude. Spell apple. All right. A-P-P-L-E. Spell apple, Bubba. A-P-P-L-E. Ding, 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 ding. Like, that's how it'd probably go. You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore. But yeah, guys, so that's pretty much the episode, man. I really just wanted to release an episode, spill my heart out a little bit, you know, let you guys know I love you and appreciate the shit out of you, man. The love is real, too. I'm not some guy trying to compensate for all the hate in his heart with how much I emulate love, but it's real, man. And if you've helped me or ever had a conversation with me that has helped me, or even not even that, if you even paid attention to what I do and supported in any way or said a good thing about me, thank you. And I love you for it, man. Like, you don't have to love me back. Love is very easy. Love is the easiest thing to come by in the world. You know, but it's what people do with it. It's what people do when they have the knowledge that's usually makes them ugly. But loving people is the easy part, man. And I love you guys. Like, if you really do truly care about me, then feelings are mutual. Chances are I really do care about you. And if you need anything, don't hesitate to reach out. I'm not that good at responding. I'll be the first to tell you. I've got like 112 unread text messages. I don't know who's in there. A little over 33,000 unread emails. Don't know who's in there. So if you need help, or not even help, if you just want to talk, or if you just want to fucking bounce some ideas off me, or just let me know how you're feeling, or let me know your journey of, you know, making that, that leap into rudimentary work into your passion. Like, I want to hear it. You know, write me, send me a fucking voicemail, leave a voicemail on anchor.fm/hellatiredpodcast. Just holler at me, man. But, thank you so much for tuning in to the Hellatired Podcast. This has been episode number 32 with your host and guest today, Bubba McComb, a.k.a. Sad Boy Shinobi, a.k.a. the Willy Wonka's Wonder, a.k.a. Walmart's favorite layaway shopper, a.k.a. Pot Sticker Poppy. I love you guys very much, and if you'd like to subscribe to the podcast, please do so through anchor.fm/hellatiredpodcast/support. $1, $5, or $10. Choose your tier. They all mean the same to me. Every fucking bit of support means the same. And I love you all for it. Give this episode a share. And yeah. Again, we got April 29th. Tomorrow, Sixth Sense Theater. May 10th, Scottsdale Comedy Spot, Comedy Club, with Chris Cope. May 13th, Food Not Bombs, at Third Space Comedy, or Third Space, but it's Third Space Comedy Event. I believe with Joshua Harrison and Matt Micheletti. May 30th, Hermosa Saloon out there in Los Angeles with me, Derek McFarlane, Joshua Harrison, Dustin Cade, and still pending on approval, Monsieur Mike Andes. And then immediately following the May 30th show, we got June 1st, motherfucker, you know what it is, blah, blah, bloop, bloop, blah, blah. Hella Tire Podcast Live, the first one ever of its kind. Again, about 20 tickets left, $10 a piece. You have to fucking meet up with me, Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal, whatever, man. If you want to go and haven't gotten a ticket yet, I highly recommend you actually do buy it. I'm not just saying that because I want to sell it out. It will sell out. That's why I'm only doing 55 tickets. Because I can pressure 55 friends into buying a ticket. And I haven't had to yet. So if you want one, get one. I love you guys very much. And thank you for always sticking with me, man. If you need anything, I'm here for you. Bye.